Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth.
Shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad. Exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth about Islam. And now, here's your host, conference speaker and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
Well, it is another beautiful Mother's Day night, and here we go. Well, it is a beautiful Mother's Day night, and it is August the 20th. I don't believe that we are almost in the end of August. Oh, God help us. We're getting close to November. And it is, of course, the year of our Lord 2022. And this is Usama Dakdar with you from the state of Missouri. With us tonight, as usual, our wonderful producer and co-host, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. And hello, Christy, and how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Actually, I'm very tired, but I'm blessed in this sense. Whatever we're going through, God will get us through. And whenever we can't do, he'll do for us and with us and in spite of us.
And from Rochester, Minnesota, here he is.
New York, New York.
Oh, I'm sorry. I always give the wrong state. I always go Rochester, New York. Hello, Brother Paul.
The Minnesota people had to copy us.
But you know what? You don't understand. Maybe if I put you in the wrong state, then there'll be your safety, code, so nobody can harm you. But hello, brother. How are you?
Pretty good. God is doing some incredible things. I'm just waiting to see what happens next.
Yeah, before we launch the show for the people on the radio broadcast, I heard the wonderful conversation between you and Christy, and you said something, and Christy did not hear you. She did not understood what you said. So she's attacking you. Bah, bah, bah. You're wrong. You cannot.
Wait a minute. I was not attacking him. I said, you're disagreeing with me?
No, he said, I'm not. Christy, he was saying the same thing you're saying. This huge fraud in New York. You think he said there is no fraud in New York. But there was huge fraud in New York.
I caught that. So we're okay.
Because of the law in New York State, and I guess the same down in your state, that you have to have an equal number of Democrats and Republicans. Again, which shocked me that there's it's not in all 50 states.
Well,
but,
this is true. But the point that I was making, Paul, is that when I voted, the machine rejected my ballot. There wasn't a reason given, and they tried to run it through again, and it rejected my ballot. So the man took it. I said, wait a minute. Do I need to redo this? What is wrong? I didn't know why it didn't go through. So he said, oh, it's no problem. We'll take care of it later. And he put it in a pile. Listen to me.
It's not legal.
Listen to what I'm saying. He took the ballot and he placed it in with some other ballots. And he said, these are ballots we'll have to run through, or as I learned later, they would be adjudicated. So what means is there will be somebody, if you don't know what an adjudication of a ballot
is. I do know what that means.
Okay. What it means is there's something wrong with the paper. Like, for example, there could be a tear in the paper. There could be this is what they have to do with ballots that come from overseas. They have to rewrite them when our military does their ballots, they can do them by mail-in, and none of them got here for the elections previous.
Yes.
So they do them online. But you can't take an online ballot and put it into the machine. It won't accept it. It's not a printout piece of paper. So those ballots are adjudicated. What that means is you have two people sit down and they recopy the ballot to get it in the form that the person voted and put it back in the machine. Well, what I've learned, and this is not tonight, they haven't even addressed that yet. They might be addressing in the movie. But what happens is they can take those ballots and change the vote. because it's supposed to be supervised by both a Republican and a Democrat, and that's what we were talking about. That's why I got into that. And I said, but you don't think there's people that lie and misuse their position? Of course there are. So when it's looked at, they can rewrite the ballot for you. How much trust you can have in that, process these days, I don't know. And that's not allowed
in New York City.
Well, how do military people vote? They don't adjudicate their ballots?
No, they have absentee ballots.
But if an absentee ballot comes from overseas very frequently, it can come late or it can be damaged in the mail where it won't go in the machine. This is for ballots.
They don't go in a machine. None of the absentee ballots in New York State go.
Okay, what I'm trying to tell you is this is a process that takes place over the whole country. In New York, they may have it different. But the point is, there is a thing called adjudicating a ballot. And that means there's been a problem with the ballot that it would not process correctly. And these are not machines where you're voting on them. Those are machines just where the thing goes in and the system counts it. If it won't go through that machine and the system won't count it, then they are trying to assure you your votes count. They're just going to have to see why it didn't go through. Was the paper incorrectly inserted? Was there some other problem? This has been happening over the course of years. This is not something new. But the new thing is, are people adjudicating the ballot in the way that the person who voted intended? And that's where we are. That's the problem. It's a big door.
I like New York State law for that, but my biggest problem in New York State
is it's the law just in Mississippi.
We have tens of thousands, maybe millions, people who are dead. We have people who vote.
Of course.
And then we have a number of different things that are happening that have to do with voter fraud, such as there's cloning of persons being able to vote most places.
Right.
Now,
right.
I could play videos of this, but go to the New York State audit of the elections. Go look for that up. And there's a lot of good videos of it. I recommend going to Telegram. And what is it called on Telegram? I'll just tell you real quick. Because they have the videos right there on Telegram.
You're going to see, and Paul, I want to get away from New York. I want to get away.
New York Citizens Audit News. Look for that. It will, New York City, it's in the description of New York Citizens Seeking the Truth of the 2020 Presidential Election.
Okay.
Now, the people who did this, I'm trying to do PR for them.
Oh, you're promoting it. Now I got it. Okay.
I'm seeing a lot more stuff. I'm starting to work with them.
I'm going to have
them on my show in a couple weeks. Just mind-numbing.
I don't want to shut off what you're saying.
Yeah.
You advertise this, but let me finish the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Go to your own state. Take a look at what's happening in your own state. It's not just about Mississippi, New York, Missouri. This is going on all over the country, and that's why I wanted people to tune into this, because there are people from every state in the country talking about what happened in their own state. So, like Paul said, some laws are different from one state to another, but voter fraud happened in every state, and there are problems.
Unheard of. And I think the biggest thing that every American citizen needs to do is fight to get the voter rolls cleaned up.
And to find out what actually happened in the 2020 election, because that is the key. I'm going to tell you, when Obama won the election in 2012, you know what? I couldn't figure out how he did that. I could not figure it out.
You're not alone.
There were so many people that went, wait a minute, I voted for him before, but I didn't vote for him this time. We talked in black churches where people were apologizing to us, a church, pastor, ministers, black ministers, apologizing for voting for him in 2008. We don't believe they voted for him in 2012, but somehow he won. And so there's been problems going on with our elections probably long before Obama was ever heard of. There are problems with elections, but the machines that are out there now have created a whole new opportunity for there to be manipulations of votes. The pandemic, they call it a plandemic, and people having to send their ballots in, mail-in ballots, that created a whole nother door of opportunity for there to be people voting that were dead, like Paul said. So many things that happen, and if we're going to have a free country in the United States of America, I'm sorry, this must be dealt with. And you don't go, well, from now on, it's going to be good. No, find out what happened in 2020 so you can prevent the same thing from happening any further. And that is going to be a big, huge challenge for every American.
Oh, we just got a comment from John Wilson, and I'm going to pick on this because I do want to share something from Canada. Because I just came back from Bible camp. I live in Canada. Usama's backdrop looks remarkable. Like the camp I spent 4 days at. There you go. Somebody's complimenting your graphic artist.
I like it. I like it. I made it myself. I draw
no,
my own.
Wait a minute. Does he mean his picture behind him right now? Or his...
We're talking about the background of Straightway Ministries.
I thought he was talking about the cabin and the trees.
Oh, wait. Are you talking... Wait, I'm sorry. I guess he probably is talking about that.
I did both of them. You see,
he did them both.
Listen, guys. I planted these trees literally 68 years ago. And
no,
cabin,
I'm sorry. Don't believe that, people.
And as for the Straightway board, the one that you see behind our pictures, I did this myself too. I literally sit in my computer and I drive and repeat it, and I made it beautiful.
You know what? They're going to be calling on you to make some more, Usama. I would not keep saying that.
Okay, here's the deal. We're
you designed
making,
it.
We're making some new banner. It's going to be much better than this one. I think this one is dark, and I think it's too busy. So we're going to make one with less art.
I like this, actually. So that's, yeah.
You know what?
I'll
let you have this one. Go ahead,
let me share what the stuff that I've seen from Toronto, as I was trying to show you before.
Sure.
So let me put that up. This is just kind of mind-numbing stuff. I have a friend, who was in Toronto August 10th, and I got to make sure everybody, I want to make sure that sound works. Tell me if the sound works. And this was happening in Toronto on August 10th.
Shoot me, shoot me.
No,
is that
shoot
what he's
me,
saying?
Shoot me. CC. No, they're speaking Arabic.
Yeah.
Are they speaking Arabic? I thought you said they weren't.
I'm
in your Arabic ears. I know they're not speaking Spanish.
Okay, this is right across the lake from me. Across the
this
pond.
Is really sad.
And the guy who was filming this, they got all in his face, and they threatened his life.
Oh, I'm
sure. And the police made him move. He was standing there silently. There's video of him standing there quietly, and there's video of the police telling him to be on his way because he's bothering them by standing silently.
You know, Paul, this is something they learned from Hitler, the Nazis. If you look at the Nazis, things that they said about the Jews. I heard him say they killed children. They're saying the Israelis murder children. No, they don't. But that was what was being said under Hitler, accusing them of killing children and claiming that they drank their blood. You watch for these things to come right back again. That is purely anti-Semitic lies. And they,
well, but Chris, you have to understand Muslims are not really worried about what you think. They say,
oh, I know,
in your face, that is a Jew, that is a Christian. But the problem I'm trying to catch our due attention with is this here. When you give a Muslim an inch, they go for a mile. They allow them to do this protest. They allow them to do this riot. Soon they're going to take off for Canada and they'll burn it to the ground. Because that's exactly what's their ultimate goal. If Canada will not become an Islamic state, Canada will be destroyed from within. And so it is for America. They're here for one purpose and one purpose only, to take over the West, to be part of the Islamic state. The sad thing, the stupid policemen of Canada and the stupid police of America and the stupid politician of Canada and America and the stupid idiot media, useful idiot media in Canada and America, they're doing the same thing. They're giving them not inches, but miles.
Okay, clarify this. You said that if they don't take over, they will destroy it from within. Don't you think if they do take over, they'll destroy it from within?
No, it will be destroyed according to our freedom. We're going to lose our freedom. But if they took it without destroying it, they're going to milk the cow to get the milk every day. So instead of you pay taxes 15%, you're going to pay the Muslim whatever they want, and you're going to be slave in your own country. So that's a victory for them. But if they could not do that, they will burn it to the ground, including themselves. They're willing to sacrifice their life for Allah and Muhammad and Islam. Okay.
By the way, and for those of you who are unaware, this is actually something that historically happened wherever Islam takes over. Those are the two alternatives, period. That's it. That's the only two alternatives.
The Muslim, as we know.
There's a third alternative.
Oh, what?
Yes. Repent, turn to Jesus Christ, bring your country back to the Lord, preach the gospel to every creature, and make disciples out of all those that you've ministered to who have received Christ. That is your third alternative and the only hope any of us have.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love what I said years ago. I don't know, Christy, you remember that when I met with you a good maybe 20 years ago or so. I said, have the American people did what is right, what you just said, from the 70s to maybe early 80s or maybe mid-80s, for a good 10, 15 years. The church will go to the airport to meet with the new Muslims coming to America, hugging them, loving them, welcome them to the community, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. First, show them the falsehood of Islam, show them the savage cult of Islam, and then share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ and lead them to Christ. Have we done that for 10, 15 years, maybe even 20 years? The embassies, the American embassies all over the Muslim world will be closed because the Muslim world will say, we don't want an embassy in our state, in our country, and we don't want our people to come to America. And the only Muslims who will come to America, they will be coming to kill the sons and the daughters who became a Christian. But we don't do that. Well, that's not what we did. Forget about the Great Commission to go to Saudi Arabia. Now forget about sharing the gospel with the Saudi in America. And now the Saudi is taking our children, marrying them to raise Muslim babies, taking every important job in this country. And now we're going to go to these stages, which Father Paul and I will talk about it in a minute here, which is the other, or the negative alternative, which is Muslims will take over America or Muslims will destroy America. Because they care less. They care less about the existence of the West because we are a problem for them. If it was not for America, ISIS would have taken over the country. Or before ISIS, Al-Qaeda would have taken over America. Or Iran would have taken over America. But the Shia is on either one. But because of America and how powerful that country is, that hindered the Muslims from taking over the world. And if the American, in their mind, I talk to you as a Muslim man. Here's what I think as a Muslim man. I'm here in America. I'm going to take this land from Allah. If I can, I will burn it to the ground so we can take over the rest of the world. That's how they do it. That's how they want to do it. Okay? Go ahead, Christy.
Well, there is some hope. And, of course, I'm hoping you can screen me down a little bit. But the point is that it's interesting for me to see right now that what's happening, and Yusoma, you can attest to this, and probably Paul can as well. The United States of America funded a lot of ministry, a lot of foreign missions, and they did a lot to reach people around the world. That was one of the things I wrote in my book that I believed is the reason God called America and gave it its power and gave it its position in the world, was to share the gospel and the light of the word of God around the world. And they did a lot of that. What's interesting now that America is falling away from the Lord and is moving into darkness, confusion, and everything else, there are people coming here from other countries who are ministering now the true gospel, the true belief in Jesus Christ and the Bible and the word of God, and they are ministering back to the United States. If
Christy,
we...
In the early period, I want to make sure that I got you right. You said the United States ministers. No, I talk about the church in America ministers. The government of the United States of America did not do any evangelism or anything.
But you saw that the people of the United States of America... During the time when I was growing up, the largest part of them believed in the Lord, were Bible-believing, they loved Jesus.
But Christy, let me just mention, when you say the United States, Muslims understand, the government of the United States of America were evangelizing the Muslims. The government of this country care less about Jesus Christ from day one.
Yusoma, I'm not...
Never mind.
You don't understand what I'm saying.
Make sure, okay, Christy, don't say the United States. He's a Christian in the United States.
Well, I'm sorry, Yusoma. I think most people know that the government doesn't evangelize
but
anybody.
The Muslims do not know that, Christy.
But yeah, but
when
that's
Muslims,
the point.
Muslims have a good excuse. Muslims are saying, oh, America are trying to make the Muslim world Christian. That's why we have to go on war against America. No, America care less about people in America to become a Christian.
That's
Yusoma, were the Christians in the United
States... Christy, you just want to argue with me? I'm asking you to correct your statement.
I'm correcting it. You won't let me correct it. I'm sorry. It's okay.
You're interrupting me in my middle of trying to correct your statement. Let me finish it, and then you can do whatever you want. You can say I made a mistake, or you can continue to teach whatever you want to teach. I said it is not the stupid government of America. The stupid government in America care less about Jesus Christ. But the Christians in America were doing a great job in the early 40s and 50s, and some of them lost their life to share the gospel with even Muslims and people in Africa. Don't shake your head, no.
Where did these people, basically, Yusoma, I am not disagreeing with you, but you are totally misconstruing what I'm saying, and I'm sorry. I did not intend to claim that the government of the United States did that. I don't claim that, nor did I, nor did anybody that I'm aware of believe that the government is.
No, he was talking about what the Muslims believe. That's what it came down to. He was talking about what the Muslims believe and how they interpret it.
Okay, so my problem is, and this is a problem, so I apologize for that. I'm thinking we're talking to American citizens on this broadcast.
But he's trying to explain that the Muslims interpret that differently.
Okay.
And while we're talking to Christians, they need to understand that this is how the Muslims interpret this from Islamic countries. They interpret it as the Christians are doing, not the Christians are doing it, they interpret it as the U.S. government. They're taught that Iran teaches their people. I mean, if you go to memory.org, I'm going to suggest everybody go to memory.org and start looking at how they teach. Even in cartoon format,
I know
what they teach people.
20 years,
and they teach them that the United States is evil, and they'll mention things like talking about this. But this is actually it's very frustrating because they have no concept of differentiation of a separation of church and state. There is no concept of that.
So if we say, well, the government's not doing that, the Muslims will love America, I don't understand.
No. The point is that that's an Islamic concept.
I got it.
Separation of, because
I got
they can't.
It.
Okay, and that's
it.
This is what Christians. people in America need to understand.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
When you start talking, Christian, you said America, United States of America, have done a great job to share the gospel with the world. That statement, Muslims love to hear it from you. Why? Because then we can go to the Quran. And what did Allah say in the Quran? They desire to make you infidels as they are infidels. So engage in war with them. If it's America, who are trying to make the Muslim country Christian, according to the word of Allah in the Quran, Muslims have the right to go in war against America. But since America never did this as a country, as a people, only Christians who were sharing the gospel. I believe it or not, this was in the early 40s and 50s. When we got to the 70s, we dropped the ball. From the 60s, 70s, 80s, we sent tourists to the Muslim world.
Okay.
Now, believe it or not, my own denomination, the Baptist denomination, which has the largest number of missionaries, will not allow their missionaries to share the gospel with the Muslims.
They have completely gone off the rails. They're not sharing the gospel with anyone,
I'm just showing you the status, how we work. Christian in America went to India. Christian in America went to the Muslim world and died to share the gospel with a lot of people of different beliefs.
I understand that,
Isana. Then we moved on, but...
I got you.
Okay.
So I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to tell you how the Muslim understand what you're saying.
It's fine. You saw that. How many times do you have to tell me? I understand it. I've been working with you a long time. I understand it. You did not understand necessarily that my point was not about that, and I apologize for misconstruing the situation to confuse anybody. My point was about the gospel being ministered in America by Christians from other countries. That was my point. So, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Paul, I know you have some other information you want to share with our people here about something happened yesterday and today.
Unusual happened. I'm just going to share this picture now. This is, let me put this on the other screen. In the past couple of days, we've had very unusual, let me get this picture up. Okay. I have been saying since the raid on Mar-a-Lago that my personal belief is that it was a setup by Trump for them to foolishly go in. I'm just going to turn this into the full share. I don't know how well you can see it. Maybe I can make this larger. Let's see here. All right. So I think this is funny because the accusation against the President of the United States was that he brought classified and top secret documents. This was a tweet that went out today, and it's, you can find the article on, I'll put the article in the chat room, PJ Media. But just look at this. It says, then President Trump issued this memorandum on January 19, 2021, on deep classification. This is what he had on him. Of FBI Crossfire Hurricane records circulated to the AG, the DNI, the CIA, and may now be relevant once full holdings from Monday's search at the Mar-a-Lago catalog. Now, this is what's interesting is, and this is what I was saying to Usama just before we went on, is they now have evidence of a crime that created Russiagate. This crime is called seditious conspiracy. If the FBI, if a law enforcement has evidence of a crime, they are legally duty-bound to investigate it. The problem, which he was laughing at, was he says, who gets to investigate? And it's, the humor here is it would be the FBI investigating itself, but it would go to the Office of the Inspector General of the FBI. I have a lot of questions there. And then there's oversight on the Oversight Committee. So it's kind of humorous. But there's a couple other documents that are out there on the same topic. But they've also revealed that this particular issue is the biggest thing. There was a case where Bill Clinton had audio tapes or videotapes that were in his quote sock drawer, and this came out this week that the court case act that actually was filed, that was there was a Freedom of Information Act request for those videos or audio tapes that were in his sock drawer, and the federal court said we can't do anything. It's the president's right. I mean, they can't, that the National Archives can't request documents that the former president had. They can't do that. It's not their purvey. So this is where it gets really interesting. They can do this to President Trump, but they couldn't do it to President Clinton. So they automatically lose. I think Trump set them up to take these documents so there would be evidence of a crime that would force an investigation. And we already know that Hillary paid for, I mean, this is the evidence that's in there, that Hillary paid for the Steele dossier, that the DNC paid for, and then it names, this is where it gets more interesting, because the stuff that was declassified before he left office indicated certain people's names and certain, you know, and dates and places of all these events. Now, if you have...
If this is exactly what Mr. Trump did he have a second copy of all this material?
Yes. And I believe they're sitting in a more secure vault, a more secure facility, and it's not necessarily on his person, but maybe on one of his lawyer's persons locked in a secure vault, far more secure than where
it's amazing. We talked about that a couple last week, and I believe, I don't know, this program or some other program, and I said, I believe Mr. Trump is a very smart man. He will not leave in his house some material, whereas logically or common sense, if the FBI ever put their hand on it, he would destroy himself. I mean, what a foolish thing to do, that you got some material in your own house, and you know that this material, if it gets caught by FBI or anybody turn it in, you're going to be in trouble. Do you think Trump is that stupid to do that? So I said, perhaps he did this on purpose to make them go and catch his stuff. And I hope that he has some other cameras the FBI does not even know of to expose these people with all the video, which, by the way, I believe.
Trump was at the event last week when we were there, he said that they were watching the entire thing on their phones. So they have
record of everything.
They have video evidence of everything. They watched it. It's all recorded, and they're going to be playing it back. That's the next thing. President Trump will be releasing a video of their...
By the way, if it's legal, you have the right, if you are in your own home and somebody did something stupid to you or to your property, you have the right to release a video 24 online, on television, whatever. I mean, it's my house. It's my video.
I'm waiting to see the video of the FBI agent touching something.
To see them what they were doing in the laundry, not the laundry, nobody calls it, in the
closet.
I would love to see what they do. They were trying the clothes on the girls there, and they're laughing. They've been funny about it. I wish to see something embarrassing.
I believe they will find it. That's the funny. That's the most embarrassing thing. I don't have a problem believing that.
Imagine FBI in Chris's house and go to her closet. And some of the girls try her clothes. That'd be comedy, Christy. Imagine that with me. And then you see the video yourself, like, what? You have no right to wear my clothes. Who do you think you're maybe?
My clothes aren't that great.
This is the only reason why, I've talked to a lot of people on this, and it's the only reason that makes sense as to why Trump would have videos, cameras placed in certain places that you would normally never see a camera placed in,
bedroom, or
your closet. Those are usually considered private places.
Yeah.
So that's what makes sense to me.
So you have cameras abnormal places. Normally, you put closet, a camera at the entry doors, so you see people come in and out, and camera in the living area, camera in
or your office area.
Office area.
Places where secure.
I've never seen a camera in a bedroom. Well, you're going to advertise yourself for the whole world to watch you?
Yeah, and that's the stuff that makes sense about it, which I think.
Well,
secret cameras could be funny with us.
Oh, smoke cameras is unbelievable. You know,
yeah.
That's a fact. They found out some TVs came from China with camera installed in them, and people do not know it.
Well, do you remember the Teddy Ruxpin dolls from ages back? They actually contained audio recording devices. That's why many of those things were not allowed to go to a federal. A child could not bring their toy into a federal facility because of that reason.
Nice. All right, so that's a good story. I look forward to hearing the rest of it, and we'll find out, obviously, as the years go by. Kristen,
I'm thinking
story?
Later this week.
Yeah. Well, I, you know what? I really don't want to know everything about right now. Maybe close the election. That will make the election a little bit more funny or more exciting than a boring election. All right, Kristen Johnson, what do we have? Do you have any story you want to share with us?
No, not really, except the... couple of things, the case of the conviction of Saeed about killing his daughters.
Oh, yeah.
That's a long
As a matter of fact, time. I sent it to you, and can any of you play that video for us?
Oh, I didn't know there was a video with that.
I sent you a video, brother. I sent you a video.
I didn't realize there was a video with it.
It's amazing.
Been following this story since the...
2008.
Yeah, I've been following the story since then, and I've been kind of shocked that nobody had. I remember them catching him. The trial was just, and I think this is the sad, sad truth about this. The trial was a mere formality because he could have been tried in absentia. That's how I feel about this. That there was enough evidence for him to be tried in absentia, which is something we normally do not do in this country. But again, there was that much evidence.
Yeah. I can play it on my phone. I don't know if
okay.
You can see it good.
I don't think the. I mean, just pull. Where was that? Was a PJ Media? Was it or?
Okay, let me try to play it on my phone, and you guys tell me if you like it or not. Maybe.
I just play the sound; they can hear it.
Okay, so here we go. You'll not be able to hear the sound.
I was going
to
say.
Because everything's backwards.
Can't hear the sound just yet.
But just a minute.
A victim of a media narrative after the killings of his daughters, Amina and Sarah, on New Year's Day in 2008.
I believe behind this coverage, there was a secret agenda.
Did you kill your daughters that night?
Well, sir, I did. Of course, I did.
He acknowledged being upset his daughters were dating.
In my culture, it's something to get upset about.
That night, he said he left to take them to dinner, only to realize someone was following them.
I was thinking someone sent them after me to harm me and not my girls.
So he says he abandoned the girls in the cab at a bus stop.
I told them, the car is yours. You do whatever you want.
So he left your girls to get fired in the car.
I was not aware they would be killed.
Telephone records show his wife called him at 7:29 p.m.
You didn't tell Patricia that you were scared that someone was following you?
No, I did not tell her.
Nor did he call 911. 4 minutes later, Sarah did call 911.
You didn't show up to their funeral.
Yes, because of the unfair and hateful media coverage at that time.
Did you love Amina and Sarah?
I have hundreds of dates showing how much I loved my daughters.
Saeed denied being abusive or threatening to kill his wife.
Women are protected more than men in America.
Again, Yasser Saeed's the victim, at least in his telling. In Dallas, I'm Tanya Iser.
Well,
there was enough evidence back when this started, when the article started on this, that implicated the mother. So I'm really shocked, unless she was given a free pass. That indicated that she set the children, her daughters, up for this meeting. And
we have Brother Paul.
I'm really appalled that nothing was mentioned there.
Yeah, Brother Paul, We have cases in America. We have sound bites like that, where a husband and a wife holding their daughter, and they set her 27 times with a knife in her chest. And the sound bite was on the FBI phone call, 911 call, 911 call. And the daughter said, I'm hurt, Dad, stop, please, I'm hurting. And the mother and the father said, die in peace, daughter, die in peace. Trust me, my friends, we will never know the true story behind the killing of these two 17, 18 years old girls. But I know how Muslims are. The honor killing is real. They believe that they can commit this savage crime in America and get away with it. Because we got stupid judges, and we got stupid policemen, and we got stupid political correctness. It's so big to protect the Muslims to do whatever they want to do in America. So I believe that man was arrested, and his family knows where he's at. His wife knows where he's at. For all this 8 years.
They were hiding him. They got caught.
Exactly, exactly. His family in Texas know everything about him. His friends know everything about him. That's the reality of Islam. The reality of Islam, they are covering up for each other. Muslims will care less about your laws, your constitution, your whatever, because they believe in Islam, they believe in Sharia, Islam law, and they believe in the right. So that man left 8 years. He should not live way of these 8 years after killing his two daughters. And I bet my life his wife knows about this, and she agreed with this because she knows where he was in the last 8 years, and she never dawned on her mind to make a phone call and tell 911, my husband is in this place. Not only she cover up and she helped him to kill her two daughters, she covered up for him the last 8 years, and this country and the government of this country are super stupid to continue to protect the Muslims in America. And I say it in the past, and I'll repeat again tonight. Today, Muslims are killing their children for not following Islam fully. Tomorrow, they will kill your children, you stupid Americans. They're going to kill your children for not accepting Islam. Just give them the time. And Sharia will be practiced fully in America before they even think about practicing fully in some Muslim country like where I come from in Egypt. This is the reality, and I'm sorry. That man should not live another day. But guess what?
Reliance the traveler is there.
Exactly, exactly.
It's there.
It's Sharia. It is Islam. But what I'm saying is that man will live for another 20, 30, 40. I don't know. What is the judgment for him? Is he going to take life in prison?
I think it is life, if I remember correctly.
So he's going to live to be 100 years in America. We're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on him every year. If this happened in Egypt, a Christian man killing his daughter, not a Muslim, because a Muslim killing his daughter is okay in Egypt. But if a Christian man killing his daughter in Egypt, he will be hung within few hours, the most few days. We hung them by a rope. But here in America, Muslims will commit a crime, they will hide for years, and their family and their friends know about it, and they're all guilty with them in it. And then they're going to live for the rest of their life. Like Malik Hassan. Remember Christy Nadal Malik Hassan, the Fort Hood shooter?
Mm-hmm.
What? He killed 15 people. Oh, sorry. 13 people plus one of them was pregnant. He killed 14 people. He wounded 57 people. And he's still alive. And who knows? Maybe he's back in his home country. We know nothing about the man. Killing 13 Americans.
Or
plus
he could
a baby.
Be preaching Islam in the prison. Bringing many more people to the light of Islam.
Yeah, he was a good Muslim. He was a good Muslim, and the stupid American let them go. That's, remember, we talked about that. It was in the beginning of our radio broadcast, if you remember that. We talked about that man changed the law in America for the military court system. Because before him, you have to shave your beard to stand up before the military to be go through the trial. He insisted for 4 years he will not shave his beard. Obama and Eric Holder changed the law. I did not talk about him. They took it for the Sikh. You know, the Sikh, the people who wear this long robe and they grow up their beard. They said, Sikh have the right to grow up their beard in the military and have the turban on their head. And the law changed by stupid Barack Hussein Obama and garbage Eric Holder. And that's when he went to the trial after 4 years with full beard at the good moment. What a stupid country. And I said then, and I say again, I will not need to take him to court. I will not need to take him to trial. He wants it, people. And there's hundreds of witnesses when he shouted Allahu Akbar as he was shooting these people, and he killed 14 people, 13 of the babies. I would take him by a garbage can. I would stand him up near a garbage can, and I put enough bullets in his head to make sure he's dead, and I would dump his body in the garbage can, and I would send a request to his garbage family in Palestine to come to take his body. If not, we throw it in some garbage container and burn it to dust. That's how I would do it. I don't need to wait 4 years to go for a trial for a criminal. But because he's a Muslim, and in America, we don't want to send the Muslim. We don't, this Mr. Muhammad here, we don't want to send him. We don't want to send him by finding his wife to be criminal, equal guilty, and all his wife equal guilty. For know that he did kill his two daughters, and for 8 years, they were hiding him.
When they found him, they discovered that his family had been sharing, you know, hiding him, taking turns, you know, hiding him. And it wasn't just one person.
It is sick. If I would do this trial right, I would bring all the family, I'll bring all the friends, and I'll make sure each one of them serve 18 years in prison, and he will be literally killed for killing two daughters. So we can set an example for the rest of the stupid Muslim in America. If your daughter want to become a prostitute, or if your daughter want to become a Christian, you have no right to kill her. The Sharia, Islamic law, is in your garbage country where you come from. In America, if you don't like it, take your family and get out of our country. And do whatever you want to do to them there. No. We're accommodating the Muslim in America to allow them to circumcise their female, to kill their sexual desires. We allow them to marry the little girl. We got thousands of Muslims from Afghanistan right now in America who are living with their little wives, the 9, 10, 11 years old.
Married. Those unaware, this has been documented on the Army base.
Yes, we're not making this up. I wish you two can take me off right now because I'm telling the truth, because I can sue them, because I got the evidence. We got Muslim men in their 40s and 50s married to 8, 9, 10, 11 years old children. And the stupid old Biden and the stupid government of America allows them to do it. And we got a Muslim man like that kill his two daughters, living in America for 8 years free, and now we're going to just put him in jail and in prison? Give me a break. I will put the judge who will give him the life in prison with him in prison. So I can even teach the judge in America, you need to judge right. That is stupid. You're accommodating the Muslims to get away with the crime for killing their own children and literally circumcise their own girl, tomorrow they will do it to your own daughters. Tomorrow they're going to kill your own sons for not accepting Islam. It's just one step at a time. Remember, you give a Muslim an inch, they go for a mile. If you know the difference between 1 inch and 1 mile. That's a story about this justice in America. He's going to live the rest of his life, in his life, comfortable. Do you know when my teeth hurt right now, Christy, I need to go to see a dentist. It will cost me roughly around $2,600 to fix my tooth. That idiot, that criminal, he will have all his teeth perfect. Perfect. Yes. By my tax money. Okay, go ahead. Next story, guys. If you have another story to share, otherwise we'll move on to other stuff.
How
about
we?
No, you have something, Paul. I can wait.
No, that was my big thing.
Okay.
Let's take a break.
I had something.
Go ahead, Christy. Go ahead, Christy.
Well, let's skip what I was saying before. But the Christians who have a church here, who are from Nigeria, they just sent a group of ministers to, including the pastor of the church here, who's a very young guy, and they just went to Uganda to minister there. You saw my thank you. You sent us some material for them to have to share. And I did go ahead and give them some of the books about the violent verses of the Quran, as well as the ministry of the gospel to Muslims, which is one of your little books that you have, the other one, is the violent verses. So I sent them with them. So a story out of Uganda. A Christian convert, the father of six in eastern Uganda, has had his hand cut off. This is the article I'm reading. So please understand, I'm just reading it. I'm not saying these words myself. By radicalized Muslim extremists, enraged that he and his family had left Islam and it has started attending church, Morning Star News reports. Christians in Uganda are increasingly vulnerable to attack by Islamic extremists. Even though Muslims are a minority group and Christianity is legal in the country. So just letting you know, please be praying, because people from, I said Nigerian. I didn't mean that.
No,
I have friends from
Uganda,
Nigeria.
Uganda.
No,
Uganda.
No, that's not what I meant. I meant from Nicaragua. They are over there doing ministry in Uganda. And so be praying, because, again, this is a church group who is going to preach the gospel. And Uganda was once a very, very, very dangerous and majority Muslim country. And there was a change, and now we're seeing a resurgence of Islam in its, I guess, in its goal to take the country back over. Under Idi Amin, there were horrible things that happened. Many Christians were killed under him back in the 70s, and it had been much better of more recent years. Now it's like Islam is becoming more prevalent, even though it's only 9% of the country. But, you know, Usama, we talk about when is Islam majority, they don't have to have 9%. They can have 5% or less. And that's when they start becoming dangerous, again, for the whole country and the community. So please be praying, because we just sent this young man there to Uganda.
It is, yeah. Absolutely. We need to pray for them, absolutely, and for the ministry in Uganda. But here's a fact about the number of Muslims. It's not how many Muslims in the country, it's how many Muslims in some city. When they came to Egypt, it were millions of Christians. And the Muslims who came, they were only in the thousands. But they went to Alexandria. And then they took over Alexandria, and then they moved to another city and took over the city and started beheading Christian men, taking their wives and daughters. One city at a time, Muslim can take over America. You start with Toronto and Dearborn. That's the two wonderful cities. And from these two cities, Muslims can take over America. And because of the stability of the political correctness in America, we will not do anything about stopping. We will not do anything about liberals in America take advantage of every crisis. You cannot let crisis go to waste. But Christians in America? So what? So what? Even when we have some good news, I was talking tonight, today with a friend of mine, Brother Jack, from Missouri, for years, and he said, we made a big mistake in America. We did not celebrate as a Christian, as a church, as a body of Christ. We did not celebrate the decision of about abortion. We should have a whole week celebration.
Yes.
No, we'll be quiet about it. We don't want to upset the Democrats. We don't want to upset the wicked, sick people who love abortion than life. So what we did, we just thank you, Jesus, we won. Some people show a little bit of excitement. Shut. No, the church in America, after 50 years of killing millions and 60 million, 70 million, whatever number it is, we should celebrate for a whole week. And not only that, every year that day we celebrate, we should make a new day on the calendar, as Muslims want to celebrate Ramadan in America, and Muslims want to celebrate the Adha in America. We should celebrate that day, the day where the court made the right decision to end the slaughter of innocent blood. No, we don't want to celebrate it.
Instead, I just, there's one of the other article I was going to share, but it goes right along with this. U.S. Episcopal Church advocates all forms of gender-affirming treatment for people of all ages. So they passed a resolution advocating access to gender-affirming treatment in all forms for adults and children of all ages.
Can you talk to me in easy words, Christy? What do you mean by that?
They are saying that it's okay for you to take your child to a counselor, and your child who's 3 or 4 or 5 thinks they'd rather be the opposite sex, and they can be treated with drugs, which stop them from obtaining puberty, and they can also be operated on in order to change their sex. This is for all forms, for adults and children of all ages. U.S. Episcopal Church has now passed a resolution that that's where they stand on this issue. It's in
the federal government. Osama, hold on. The federal government has actually passed a financing law for public education where they require that of public education.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much. There are states that are actually passing laws against it now.
Yes.
That's the important thing. Work on your own individual state and fight it.
Sure. Yeah. And what's so amazing is this is the same Episcopal Church and Lutheran Church and whatever garbage church. Well, by the way, they are a gay and lesbian community. And by the way, that's the same garbage church where Muslims go there and they hug them and kiss them and fall in love with each other and have the interfaith meeting.
Yeah.
And by the way, that is the church which soon is going to be a mosque in America for Muslims to use these buildings to take their people and the neighbors and communities to become Muslim. And that's how Islam is going to take over.
Well, recently there's been some articles coming out about the Southern Baptist Convention. You know how we've had issues with them, that they've been taking money that is going to obligate them in several ways that are against the gospel and are against them having the liberty to preach the gospel to people of other faiths like Islam. So we're seeing this corruption all over in the church in America. And it's
Christy,
not the people
the
congregation. It's the leadership.
The wickedness, the fall of Christianity is beyond imagination. Now the Wycliffe Bible Society. The Wycliffe Bible Society are writing new gospel, new testament for the Muslims. And how they introduce Jesus Christ? Not the Son of God, but the messenger of God. And how they call him, what is his name? His name is Isa, not Yeshua, not Jesus, as we know it in the Arabic language. And how they explain Trinity? They're changing Christianity to gain the Muslims to believe in a lie. And Muslims, when they die, they burn in hell like the rest of the Muslims, even after they leave Islam to become that fake Christian. I never thought in my life that I'm going to open a Bible, I'm going to read Isa, son of Mary. Isa,
for those of you unaware, Wycliffe is not in a grave. His bones were burned. He was burned and then, he died. They dug up his bones, burned them, and then they ground them to dust and poured them out into the river. So he can't even turn over in his grave about it.
The man does not have a grave.
Well, I want you to know this is a very sad situation, and we can target different people who have fallen under these lies and promoted them. But the truth is we're in a spiritual war in America, and if you don't realize our enemy is not flesh and blood, it is powers and principalities, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That is what we are seeing in America. And this spiritual war, you better get in the battle because it is against you. If you believe in Christ, you have an enemy. And I'm tired of the prosperity gospel, which does not tell people that they are going to be hated just as Jesus was hated. And that does not mean we're defeated. It just means you're not going to win if you don't realize you're in a war. You're not in a game. You're in a war. And if you don't pray, seek the Lord, and follow the scripture and stop deviating. What is the reason to deviate from what God said? And we just had a conversation with a person online who wants to promote this idea that, If Jesus isn't really God, you don't have to really believe that to be a Christian. Give me a break. There's no Christianity that like that. That is a false teaching. And we're just, you know, that's why I said we have to repent, not because you don't believe in Jesus. Repent because you're not reaching us for Jesus. And we all have repentance to do there. That is our primary job as a believer, is to share the gospel with others and make disciples wherever you go. That's a hard job. It's not easy.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at a video which Father Paul cut to pieces. And I'm gonna shred it to even less pieces as we continue on our program. Here's, by the way, the two booklets, the red and the green, concerning the straight way to eternal life and the violent truths of Islam.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information. And now, back to our show.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this beautiful Saturday night. That passes 2 hours. We're already gone. The first hour is gone, and it is 10:03 Central Time. Brother Paul, I know you have done a great job to cut that ridiculous video which we saw online. We thought we were going to talk about it last week, but here it is. So let's play a little bit of these pieces. Hopefully, we can respond to some of them, and then
let me just mute myself before we get
there. Sure. And I will remind you to come back with your sound bite when you start talking. Can you remove this piece at the bottom, the blue and white? Yes, sir. That's okay. Take your time, Brother Paul. We put you on the test. We could let Christy do that, see how maybe she can do a better job than you.
This one means you want to be a servant of God. Servant?
Arabic.
So all Muslims are Arabic?
Yeah. No. I don't know.
All right. That's a good point to stop here. First, he said Muslim is to be servant of God. You need to put yourself on the mic, Paul, if you want to talk. And then they asked a question about the relationship between Arab and Muslim. So they come up to this idea that, of course, these people they're interviewing are dumber than dumb. And let me say it again, they're dumber than dumb. You know nothing.
They weren't in my classroom. I can say that.
Well, because you have thought some truth there. But if I will, you know what, Christy and Father Paul, if I will put 100 cushions through on Paul to majority of the American people, I'm not picking up people uneducated. I'm talking about college and up. All our politicians, all the media people, 100 cushions, true or false, I guarantee you they're going to fail miserably. They will not even get 7 or 8 out of the 100 right. It will be 80, 90-something wrong answers and less than 10. We'll make a bet on that. So what is Islam? To be servant of God. Are you kidding me? Where did you live the last 20 years since the last September 11th? I mean, can you imagine after September 11th, 3,000 Americans were killed and the American people are still busy to watch stupid soccer, ball, football, baseball, baseball, movies, everything else, and they forgot about studying about something is called Islam. And I'm not surprised. I guarantee you, the families of those who died in September 11th, most of them right now are still stupid and dumb as before September 11th. And I would love to make a bet on that. I would love to say, okay, bring me 100 of those families who died, their father, mother. And I guarantee you, out of the 100, you're not going to get 5%, 5% who bothered to read the Quran. So, what is Islam? To be servant of God. Yes, indeed. And then we talk about Arab. Oh, 15% of our Arab. And I don't know. I don't know. I know you don't know, honey. You know nothing. You don't even know what is if you are a woman or a man. I guarantee you, if you are a stupid liberal Democrat, you know nothing about yourself. So if you don't know if you are a woman or a man, or the difference between a man and a woman, how do you know about Islam?
Well, I will say this: the video was captured in 2014, so they would have been allowed to say if they're a woman or a man back then.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought, okay, you may make a point. I'm sorry, I can tell you that 99.something% of the Muslims in the world are not Muslims. Because to be a Muslim is to be a submitter. To live in obedience to the word of Allah in the Quran and the command of Muhammad in the Hadith. That is to kill for yourself 10, 20 every day. If the Muslim America are not killing infidels every day, they're not Muslims. If they're not terrorizing the American people, they're not Muslims. And that's not just in America. I'm talking about worldwide. I guarantee you 90% of the Muslims of Egypt are not Muslims. They're not practicing Islam. How can you tell me you live in submission? Oh, I love my Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I'm submitting to Jesus. Where are you going, Brother Isama? I'm going to rob a bank. Okay. What are you doing, Brother Isama? Oh, I'm selling drugs. I got a house of whores. House of prostitutes. So that's my business. And I'm a Christian. Does not work that way. Christian means live for Christ. Muslim means live for Islam. You live in submission. You do what Islam teaches. How many Muslims in the world? I guarantee you we don't have any. Only the true Muslim believers are jihadi. 5%. I'll go for 10%.
And the one thing I have yet to meet here in the United States is a Muslim who doesn't enjoy music, which I find fascinating.
It's true, because music is haram. Brother, how can you be a Muslim listening to garbage music? Let me put it this way. If you smile, if you have a smile on your face and you're happy like these men and women who are doing the interview, you're not a Muslim. Allah says in the Quran, do not rejoice. Surely Allah does not love the rejoicing one. How do you want to live to believe in Allah and displease Allah by being happy? A true Muslim is a miserable, sick man and woman who are not happy, they will not smile, and they will never have a smile, a joyful face. No. So, where are the Muslims? They're not here. Christy, what do you think?
Well, I know that's true, but I'm glad that a lot of them are not real Muslims because they're really not living and submitted to Allah and the Quran and Muhammad, because those are people we can maybe reach for Christ.
Well, I'm thankful, by the way. I'm not saying that. I'm sorry. No. I'm very happy. For every Muslim who is not in Islam, my heart is rejoicing. Why? Because that's less criminal, less savage, a greater opportunity for us to share the gospel with and lead them to Christ. I'm happy for it. anything else, Brother Paul, before you get the next fight? Okay.
Well, he's muted. Come off mute, Paul.
We cannot see this, Paul. Paul, the bridge is not up.
You're muted on StreamYard.
He knows he's muted.
Oh, okay.
We just have to have the video.
Okay, so what's the first thought that comes to your mind when you hear the word Ramadan? Culture? Or Muslim holiday?
I don't know. In India, I have no idea. Okay.
Like not even food. Holiday?
Mm-hmm.
What's the word?
Nothing comes to mind, yeah.
Ramen.
Can you play it again, Brother Paul? Play it again from the beginning. We missed the first portion of it. If you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. I just heard Rebecca that said it. Go ahead, Brother.
Okay, so what's the first thought that comes to your mind when you hear the word Ramadan? Culture?
Muslim holiday?
I don't know. In India, I have no idea. Okay.
Food?
Like not eating food?
Holiday?
Mm-hmm. What's the word?
Fasting. Nothing comes to mind for that, yeah.
Ramen.
I love it. Yeah. I love it how they just come up with one word. And the American people who are there interviewing, they don't have a clue. Literally, they don't have a clue what this word is. So what do you come in your mind when you see Ramadan? India. Ramadan is India. Ramadan is the moon or the stars. I mean, it doesn't matter. Anyway. And what I don't know, and it's culture. Ramadan is culture. You know how stupid that is?
Well, you can at least, I can give them that much. I would say there's it comes in culture. I would say Islamic culture. I'd give them that much, but not much. I wouldn't say that's not enough.
But, excuse me, Ramadan as a month of the lunar year existed for hundreds of years before there was Muhammad or Islam. Ramadan is a month. If they would ask me, what is that? Oh, January. When I say February, what do you think when I say February? Culture, really? When I say February, Egypt, really? February is a month. Ramadan is a month. Now, you want to be sarcastic with me? Ask me a deep question. Not just Ramadan. I guarantee you the people...
You want to know if they're talking about a month or are they talking about the fasting is what you're saying.
The word she holds in her hand. That's why I want you to blend again. It is the word Ramadan. I can say Ramadan is a month of the lunar year. Ramadan is a name of a Muslim man.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with fasting. Ramadan means nothing. There's no connection between Ramadan and fasting. Now, what do you think about the fasting of the month of Ramadan? That's a different story. Or just giving a word. What do you think of Islam? What do you think of Ramadan? Let's think of sweetheart. That's embarrassing. So if you talk about the fasting of the month of Ramadan, you're going to say, oh, that's true. I'm glad you mentioned that question. That is when Muslims pretend to be fasting the month of Ramadan, when in reality they never fast today in their life. Imagine with me. I destroy Islam by answering a stupid question. What they come to your mind when you talk about the fasting of the month of Ramadan? Oh, you mean the eating 4 or 5 meals every night? You mean the gaining 15, 20 pounds at the end of the 28 days? What is fasting?
And for those of you who don't know, you can go. There are medical studies in Middle Eastern countries about the vast amount of weight put on during the month of Ramadan.
You can, Christy, if you eat, if you turn your day to night, your night to day. I know Christy, she's in good shape. She likes to weigh herself every day to make sure she's not gaining point something or point of a pound. Imagine with me, Christy, as a lady in your shape and you're in good health, and I know the fact, imagine you, for a whole month, You're not going to eat during the day. You're going to sleep all day. But when it gets dark outside, you start eating 4 or 5 good meals, a lot of dessert, and then you sleep the rest of the day. And then you eat all night. And you sleep this. And by the way, Muslims are not missing anything. Even during the night, they're having sex with their wives. So eating and having sex. What is going to happen for somebody to eat 4 or 5 meals every night for a whole 28 days? What's going to happen at the end of the month? Oh, A, he's going to lose weight. B, he'll be the same weight. C, he's going to gain weight. What do you think the right answer, Paul?
I think the weight gain, I think, if I remember reading, on average was 20 to 30 pounds.
Yeah, if you're careful, you're going to gain at least 15 pounds. If you are like most people, 20, 50 pounds, that's normal. And that's fasting. Now, we take this opportunity, that golden opportunity, to educate our Muslim friends about fasting. Let me teach you about the real fasting, which, by the way, it's the same fast which Muhammad used to do. In the beginning of Islam, Muhammad asked his people to fast the month of Ramadan. They were not eating all night long. They fast from sunset, from sundown to sundown. And then they eat one meal, and then guess what? The following day, they fast all day long. They were fasting 24 hours. And they did not have sex with their wives or their women or their slaves. And then one man by the name Omar. And Omar was very close friend to Muhammad. He became actually the third Khalif, the third leader. After Muhammad died, Abu Bakr, after Abu Bakr, Omar. So Omar was crying to Muhammad, "Oh, Abbas of Allah, I could hold myself last night and I had sex with my wife." So quickly Muhammad made a phone call to Allah. Jibreel come in and said, "Okay, now we'll make it easy for you. You can have sex with your wife during the night." So what? Where is the fasting? The fast of month of Ramadan is a claim made by Muslims for the last 1400 years that they're fasting. But in reality, the Muslim believers never fasted a day in their life. And if Muslims don't understand that, we say, what is a day? Oh, it's a 24 hour. Sunset to sunset biblically. Have you ever seen a Muslim fast a day? No. Then you don't know talk about fasting.
I find it humorous because, I like you said, they are only using one word, and it's going to cause problems, as you see. Now, this is, Gedaliah had made a comment about a dawah team. The people who are making this video use this to do dawah.
That's the whole book.
Yeah.
1877, why Islam?
Yeah.
Yes, they have a big billboard all over the highway. Huge billboard all over our highways where you see 1877, why Islam? I called that number just for being sarcastic or silly. And the lady, she answered the phone. She was an American woman who's been a Muslim for 5 years. And she is there online to answer American people when they call to tell them why Islam. So I said, why Islam? Tell me, why Islam? And she had no answer. I said, ma'am, do you have somebody older than you can answer that question for you? Are you supposed to be able, why are you asking the phone if you don't know why Islam? Can you imagine? The ministry is called the Dawah, why Islam? And the people who answer the phone, 1-877, why Islam, do not have an answer why Islam is.
That's quite a statement.
Imagine, Christy, you're having a ministry, why Christianity? And I call you Christy Johnson, I say, excuse me, ma'am, why Christianity? And say, I don't know. I said, oh, thank you. Now I've become a Christian.
All right. You want the next one?
I don't know. Christy, you want to say something about Ramadan, Christy? Have you ever fasted Ramadan, Christy? Would you like to fast Ramadan? So you cannot fast Ramadan.
There's no fasting if you're not fasting for that. For at least 24 hours.
If they say Ramadan is fasting, I'm sorry, Ramadan is the name of a man, Ramadan is the name of a month, and there is no fasting in Ramadan. Go ahead, next slide.
All right, okay, let me get there.
Don't forget to mute this.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question we want to ask is, do you think Muslims believe in Jesus?
Yeah. It doesn't matter about your religion. You can still believe in some stuff.
I do believe they believe in Jesus, however, a different form of Jesus, you know, like I said, Allah.
Yeah, they believe in Jesus, but it's not, it's called something else. It's called, they'll call it Jesus. I don't know what they call it, but I know they'll call it Jesus. But they believe in, like, gods, like many gods, I think.
So, you believe in many gods?
Yes.
So here you go, Jesus. We got the word Jesus, man, on a paper. And do Muslims believe in Jesus? What do Muslims call Jesus? I don't know. They call something else. No.
Well, my biggest problem was the word it there. What do they call it? What do they call it?
The Muslim worship more than one God. Muslim worship a bunch of gods. And, I mean, it's just stupid. That's stupid. I will turn the table around and say, excuse me, where can I find Jesus in the Quran? As a matter of fact, we did a study in our VCY radio broadcast available online. People can go and watch it. Finding Jesus in the Quran. And I worked hard in this study. I got 40 programs or 50 programs. And in the end, I said, I searched in the Quran and I could not find Jesus. It's not in the Quran. Why do you want to talk about J-E-S-U-S? Are you talking about Isa, son of Mary, or Jesus, God Almighty, who came in the flesh? Jesus is not mentioned in the Quran. You Muslims know nothing about Jesus. Your Allah has nothing to do with my Jesus. My Jesus is God. Do you believe in God? Yeah. You believe in Jesus to be God? No. Then you don't believe in my God. I mean, these questions, I wish in my life, I found a Muslim to interview me and ask me this question. Because that is an awesome opportunity to lead these Muslims to Jesus Christ. But sadly, they're talking to some idiots. Some people don't even know anything about anything. What do you want to say? What do you want to ask?
Just that these are the same people that probably don't really know anything about the Bible, and why are there not Team
yes.
Jesus out there
exactly.
sharing the gospel?
Well, it was interesting that the one kid said he believes in Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. He at least had that part somewhat right. I'll give him. I'm not saying he's totally right. I'm just. If he was able to differentiate that there is a different concept of Muslims try to do with this Dawah thing, they say, oh, we still believe in Jesus, but he's not God. Sorry, you're not believing in this. That's not the same. No, I'm sorry. That's like an alien trying to compare an alien to the Lord Jesus. I'm sorry. There's no, it's not even close.
I know it's amazing that Muslims can go to New York and meet with people and ask these questions. While we cannot go to Dearborn, meet with Muslims and ask similar questions.
Oh, that's
true. We will be arrested and thrown in jail, pay $500 or $1,000 in the morning to leave jail quietly, and nobody will say, I'm sorry, I did not know that. I mean, literally, we got people, I believe David Wood and others were in Dearborn in the festival, and they were given a free gift, the Gospel of John. A gift. And they got arrested. They could not find, I'm not even talking to you. Hey, good morning. Here's a booklet. Here's a book. Good morning. Read it when you have time. No. You can't do that. See how the stupid government of the United States of America, they'll protect the Muslims to do whatever they want to do the Dawah all day long, meeting with idiot Americans who know nothing about Jesus or Muhammad. And that's okay. And they make the video and they put the video online. Now, I would go to Dearborn to meet with Muslims and ask them questions. I hold a piece of paper and have the word Muhammad in it. I say, what do you know about Muhammad? Let me share with you. He was a child molester. Here's your book. Here's the page. Here's the verses. Here's the statement. Here's what Aisha said. Your Muhammad is a pedophile. Oh. Good luck to spend a week out of prison. And if you'll be free in a week, you've been blessed in America. They will make fun of Jesus, and I cannot share truth about my.
Gedaliah put up, I'll just throw this up for those of you who can't see it on Facebook. I like this statement. Islam has the false Messiah, Isa. You know, and I still find that humorous, and God Logic uses the term Messiah to remind them, look, you know, if you learn what Messiah means, you can't learn it from the, you can't learn it from the Quran. You actually have to go look it up in the Bible. And when you learn that, you might actually know who Jesus is, really.
Exactly, exactly. I love how Ibn Kathir explains the word Messiah to be one of the two. And I hear myself back, I don't know why. Messiah is the one who traveled by changing the letter Mim to the letter Yeh. So it is not Messiah, it is Yesiah. Travel. I said, man, if that's the case, I am more of Christ than Jesus Christ. Literally, I put thousands and thousands of miles in my vehicles and airplanes all over this country for the last 20 years. Jesus did not travel in the whole entire 33 years. He did not cover enough land like I covered in 1 year. I am more of Jesus. I am more of a Christ than Christ himself. Because if it is Yeshua travel, I travel more than Jesus. I travel more than Paul. Then the other one, Messiah, it is the one who's washed and plays the game, changing the word from Messiah to Mamsuah. Washed. 153 years. I've been washed more times than Jesus. Therefore, I'm a Christ too. It is stupid. So Muslims do not know what the real name for Jesus. What is the meaning? See, in the Bible, every name is given for a purpose. And when it comes to the name Jesus, it said, and you shall name him Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Muhammad is so smart. He changed the name from Yeshua, to Isa. And what Isa means? It means nothing. But by the way, same way, Ibn Kathir, I was just recording some radio programs the last few days to VCY. We're talking about the foolishness of Joshua. So Joshua, the story of Joshua, which it's funny. Three words in the Quran. And Moses says to his young men, That's how much we know about Joshua in the Quran. His young men. I said, how in the world he can come up with the name Joshua from his young men? It could be somebody else. And then Ibn Kathir writes me 8 pages in the book, the beginning and the end, the story of the prophet, about Joshua. Change his name to Yahusha, not Yeshua, to Yahusha. Once again, as Muhammad was so smart to change the name Jesus to Isa, Ibn Kathir was so smart to change the name Yeshua to Yahusha. By the way, Yeshua is the same name of Jesus, which means God saved. So anyway, next, anybody want to share Christy or Paul before we get to the next video? All
right.
Okay. I can mute you, Paul, by the way. I can mute you from here. Do you mind if I can mute you and unmute you?
Some might, yeah. Maybe you might say you're Muslim because your family is, but you actually believe in other stuff.
That's a good one.
I think some way they do. And I think,
the Muslim worship Jesus.
I stopped it there because, you know, what I found interesting is you might believe in other stuff, but what happens in, I'm going to say in the United States, even if you do that in the United States, we just had a case we were just talking about earlier where two girls wanted to believe in other stuff. What happened to them? They got killed by their father.
And you cannot be a Muslim if you're going to believe in Jesus. If you're going to worship Jesus, go ahead, Chris.
Well, remember the young lady that you were called to help because she had been a believer in Christ and her had to flee her Muslim family from Ohio. She fled to Florida, and we met her there, remember? And she was finally given, she was finally emancipated from her parents. She went into foster care for about a year. And people didn't understand how that could happen. She said her parents would kill her for becoming a Christian. And even some very prominent people who should know better said, oh, yeah, maybe she just wanted to run away and be with her boyfriend. That was so ignorant because they didn't know anything about Islam. You can't believe in something else if you're Muslim.
Sure. And, you know, this is the sad truth. Again, Islam does not mean freedom. It does not mean peace. In fact, if you're submitting to Sharia, that's what you submit to, and that's what Muslim actually means. You're submitting to Sharia, from my understanding. I look at this like, okay, you're giving up your freedom to think. You're giving up your freedom to make choices. And this is something that I would say the average American can't grasp. It's almost horror-filled to think that somebody would willingly do this. That's the reality.
If you want to look up that story, her name is Rivka Berry. And I actually have some video on my YouTube channel that I posted about Rivka Berry and Usama going there. There's stories on YouTube, I believe they're still there, about what happened to her and what a hard time she had getting the support of the court, the governor of Florida at the time, and also the problems she had when her family came and said, oh, we love her, we want her home. And she knew that wasn't true. She had to hide her Christianity for what, 3 years, Usama? 4 years. To keep them from finding out that she believed in something.
And by the way, let me share this as a fact. When I went to minister to her, she ministered to me. I never seen a man or woman, even ministers in America, who know how to pray like Rivka Berry prayed. She was quoting the scripture in her prayer, Brother Paul. You said to, and then she mentioned the Bible chapter, verses. You said in the book of Jeremiah. You said in the book of Ezekiel. You said, you wrote in Paul's writing in Philippians, and she's quoting the scripture in her prayer. She's praying from her head, quoting the scripture. I didn't even know how to pray like her. And she was only 17 years old. So if you're talking about a strong Christian young lady, it is Rivka Berry. All right, let's move on to next slide. Next slide. I'm going to mute you both.
I think everybody has a different video of Jesus, so... I think everybody has like a different view of Jesus, so.
Okay. She said, she thinks everybody has a different view of Jesus. Is this how we Christian believe in Jesus?
It's not biblical in any manner. So it's really, I would say it's disrespectful to
all Christians.
All Christians. It's
and you know what? You know why they put that piece there, Paul? To show other Christians that you don't even know what you believe in. You have different views. we have different views. We don't know who Jesus is. But let me tell you about Jesus, the real Jesus of the Quran. Let me tell you about Muhammad. That's how they do da'wah. You want to know Islam? You want to know how Islam is spreading in the West? It's propaganda. It's deception. You get to talk to some people who know nothing about Jesus, or even talk to some ministers, some gay and lesbian ministers who do not know Jesus, and that's what Christians believe. No.
Yeah, and I, my biggest problem with this is their description of who Jesus is, the Islamic description. Now, that's what they're saying. You know, they're not telling you fully what they believe about Jesus. They're saying, well, he's a, they come out and say he's a prophet. That's about it. They don't tell you he's, they don't believe he's God. They don't tell you what they think he is versus what they think he isn't.
Yeah.
And so they, it's a schmooze. I mean, they're trying
in that case, when it turns this around, it's, excuse me, you believe Jesus is a good teacher. Can you share with me? This is a smart, educated Muslim. This is the da'wah leader. Can you share with me one thing good about Jesus' teaching? Shoot me a verse from the Bible where Jesus taught something and you believe in it. Guess what? They have no answer.
Oh, I love that. I have to remember that one.
You have no answer. I say, okay, let me share with you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we have to believe in the Father. We have to believe Jesus is the way to the Father. And the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus. You believe in that? No. Oh, Jesus is not a good teacher. He's a bad teacher. Thank you. Thank you. And I can go on that teaching of Jesus for an hour. But let's move on. You believe Jesus is a good man? Yeah? Yeah? He's a good man. Okay. What do you think about him in his life? What is he did to prove to you and to the Muslims that he's a good man? Well, he performed miracles. So what? Many other people, his disciples performed miracles greater than him. According to his word, according to Jesus' teaching, his disciples performed greater miracles than him. I'm talking about Jesus. Why do you think he's good? First of all, Jesus said, no one is good except God. So you believe Jesus is a good man? You believe Jesus is God? No, that's not what they say. Okay. Jesus forgives sin. Jesus accepted the worship of others. Jesus, is that the Jesus you believe in? No. Then Jesus is not a good man. Jesus is a blasphemer. No, more or less, he's just a blasphemer. Thank you. Move on. Third one, which Muslims always say, Jesus is a good prophet. Good. Can you share with me one of his prophecies? As a matter of fact, Muslims do not know what makes a person a prophet. When you say, this guy is a doctor, why? Because he can read and write the French. No, reading and writing French won't make you a good doctor. You're a doctor because you know about disease, because you give medicine to people, you can do surgery, heart surgery, brain surgery, eye surgery, you can do some medical stuff to make you a doctor, okay? Jesus is a prophet. What is a prophet? Trust me, a bald Christian. If Muslims know what is a prophet, Muhammad would have never become a prophet in Islam. They will lose their belief in Muhammad to be a prophet if they understood what prophet is. No, they don't know what Jesus prophesied. Share with me a prophecy in the Bible, Jesus said, which make him a prophet. I'm going to help them out here. A prophet is a man who gives a prophecy. Okay, they don't know. Well, Jesus prophesied that the Son of Man would be given to the Gentiles. They mock him. They will beat him. They will crucify him. He will be buried after he died. And he will rise again on the third day. He will raise himself on the third day. He said, you put this body down, and I will raise him up on the third day. Do you believe in the prophecy of that Jesus? No. So he's a bad teacher, a blasphemer, and a false prophet. And you believe in Jesus. That's wonderful. That's really good. Anything else, Christy or Paul, you want to share?
No.
Just the fact that you have people out there who call themselves Christians and they are saying the same thing. It's just really tragic.
I'm glad Jesus said there will be people coming to me. Not just people. They're good preachers. They're miracle performers. Okay? Prophesied in your name, Jesus. We cast demons in your name, Jesus. We perform miracles in your name, Jesus.
Man,
I'm talking about preacher. I'm talking about preacher who are a miracle performer. And you know what Jesus said? Come on in. I'm sorry I missed, you know. Away from me, evildoers. I do not know you. That's exactly the answer of the real Jesus concerning those Christian in name only. Even if they use the name of Jesus to perform their own. Next video. All right.
So, who is Virgin Mary, or what do you guys think of her?
I think that she's cool. She's a cool person. I think so too. She's cool being.
Yeah. She is important in the in history, and she is Jesus' mom.
No, right. Because remember, she was a virgin, and then God put the baby in her stomach. Yeah, and he was like, dude, you're gonna deliver my baby. And then that was Jesus, and then, you know, three kings, and...
Blessed Mother.
I forgot the name of it. What heart was?
What about Virgin Mary?
Jesus. She protects us.
Protects us from what?
Bad things happening to us.
Catholics.
help, Lord Jesus. Christy, why don't you share something about Virgin Mary?
Well, Muslims actually claim they believe in the Virgin
birth,
which is the teaching of the Bible. So it's one of the areas that I think they use to deceive Christians into thinking that Islam and Christianity have the same beliefs.
Yeah. Very good point. Very good point. But don't you think she's cool? She's really cool. She's really cool. She's the mother of Jesus. No, she's the wife of Jesus. Or maybe she's the cousin of Jesus. Maybe she's the neighbor of Jesus. Somebody lived in Jesus' days. And the baby go in her stomach. I did not know that women can have babies in their stomach.
And, you know, what kills me is our girls talking about that. Sorry. I know the description. It's just kind of, it's juvenile for a teen or 20-something to get that long.
Well.
Or maybe they're just putting it kindly. I don't know.
Let's turn the table around. You tell me, Muslims, who is the Virgin Mary? How did she become pregnant? Let's get a little bit deeper. When she met with the angel Gabriel, who told her she's gonna have a baby, she was more of a man than he was 40 years old. Mary, the Virgin Mary, she was 14, 15 years old. She was more of a man than Muhammad when he was in his 40s. Muhammad ran away, scared to death, when he met with Gabriel. Mary talked to him like a mature woman. But how did Jibril got her pregnant? I wanna get a little bit deeper here to understand the beliefs of Islam. It's very simple. He actually breathed in her vagina. And if you read the interpretation of Muslim cause, he got her excited sexually. Mary is the only person who has the nutfa of a man and the nutfa of a woman. Remember the baby, how the baby is made? A nutfa from the man, from the backbone, the wife, the sick. We covered this in our study, the embryology, the great miracle of Muhammad embryology. And from the nutfa of the man, he brings the bones and the muscles. And Mary also have the other nutfa, the soft yellow from her breast or from the bone of her breast. And when Angel Gabriel breathed in her vagina, Quran chapter 66, got her excited. And the fluid, the white fluid, came down from her back, mixed with the fluid from her breast or her the chest, and the bones of the chest, together down there in the womb. And that's when we not find
she. So she was the hermaphrodite? Is that it? I mean,
she had the male and the women, two fluids. For baby Isa to come to this world.
I said that as
a joke. It'll be a little bit difficult giving birth, I would say, from what
well,
I understand.
This is, yeah, but I know. I only said that as
she
a joke.
She was a woman physically, but Allah somehow miraculously put semen of the man in her backbones. Now, what Muslims have the guts to tell the American people, read Quran chapter 66, Paul. Quran chapter 66, first chapter.
All right, yeah. Quran 66. What verse?
Well,
those are really short, so I can get that part. All right. And we're almost there.
That's okay. Here we go.
66:12?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Didn't do them. Okay. And Mary, the daughter of Imran.
Oh, whoa. Time out. Mary, the
wait a minute. Isn't Imran the father of Moses?
And Aaron, yeah. Muhammad, the great prophet of Allah, the child molester, the pedophile, did not know that the Mary, the mother of Jesus, had nothing to do with the Mary, the sister of Moses and Aaron. He actually saw her as the same woman. And the distance between that Mary and that Mary, only 1,500 years, which is not a long time. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Doesn't that tell us that we got a false prophet here who guarded her private parts so we breathed into it? I think you're being kind with these words. from our spirit, and she believed in the words of the Lord and his books, and she was obedient.
We here is not Jibreel. I know Muslim would love to see Jibreel. No, we here is Allah. If you want to make Jibreel Allah, then you have a bigger theology problem. Allah literally put his lips on Mary's vagina, and he blew his spirit in her. That's how
Jesus
does it.
That's what the Quran says, people.
But the two point is scholars of Islam teaching 100%. I'm not making it up. God help us. So, who is the Virgin Mary? She's not a cool girl. She's not the wife of Jesus or a sister of Jesus or a neighbor of Jesus. She's the mother of the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in the flesh. Jesus is not the son of Mary, as Allah said in the Quran, permission Jesus, by the way, Isa. Jesus is God Almighty who came in the flesh. You see, if Muslims believe in the Creator to be Jesus Christ, they're no longer a Muslim. And when we go to Genesis chapter 1, in verses 3, 6, 9, 12, and 18, and 24, the spoken word of God brought everything to existence. You go to John chapter 1, we know it is the same beginning. In the beginning was the word. And then we know in verses 2 and 3 that everything came to existence of the creation by the word of God. And then you go to John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh. So now we know for sure that is the son of Mary, the word of Allah, and the spirit of him, Quran 4:171, is God Almighty, is the creator of everything who became flesh. No, I don't know for that.
Sorry.
Move on, brother. Move on.
Oh, we're at that 10-minute point that you want to...
10-minute point. I'm sorry. All right. God help us. But here is the da'wah, people. Here's what Muslims know about Islam. And I'm sorry to say, Muslims do not know neither Christianity nor Islam. We're going to stop here, and we're going to pick up this next week, Lord is willing, to cover the rest of this video and maybe a couple other videos to show you that Muslims do not know Islam, and Christian Americans, or a Christian in name only Americans, see, the Muslim presents this video as, we talk to the Christians in New York. We talked to the Christian in that city, No, he did not talk to Christian. You want to talk to Christian? Here I am. Talk to me. Debate me. I would love to teach you your Islam before I can share with you the truth of Christianity. Anyway, let's close our program for tonight. Thanks, Christy. Thanks, Paul. We'll continue with these videos. I know you have another 15 cut. We only did 5 of them. We'll continue with that, Lord is willing, for next week. Appreciate you. God bless you. And if you have any question, I'm not going to close. After the video is over for the program, I will come back and answer some of the questions from our people. Yes,
yeah, there's a comment in the chat that you need to respond to. Yes, you got
we'll get, to all of them after the program.
Okay.
All right.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that have done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. Remember, they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. My friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully, and you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. But when you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, ah, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, oh God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side, put your law on that side, and I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent, you know? Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen to